The 11th parak deals primarily with the Korban Chatas. Mishnah Aleph starts as follows. There's a special din when it comes to the Korban Chatas that if blood spritzes on, for example, the Bigdei Kehuna, there's a din of Kivus, you have to wash it out. So we're going to talk about the halachas of Kivus in the first few Mishnahs. Dam Chatas, Shenitas al HaBeged. If you have the blood of a Korban Chatas that spritzed on a Beged, Harezit on Kivus, that Beged requires laundering. Even though the pasuk that teaches us that there's a halacha, you have to do Kibus on a Beged, and it's listed only when it's talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that is the, if you do a Korban Chatas on the outer Mizbeach, Shenemar b'makom kadosh te'achel, as it says in the pasuk that it's talking about the place that the Korban Chatas is eating, that's talking about the Korban Chatas that was done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Nonetheless, this halacha of Kibus applies echad an echeles v'echad apnimis tunas Kibus. This halacha applies whether it's a type of Korban Chatas that is done on the outside and it's eaten, or it's a Korban Chatas that's done on the Mizbeach that's inside the Heichal. It doesn't matter. There's still a requirement of Kibus if the blood gets on a Beged. Shenemar Toras Chachatas. There's a pasuk that says the Torah of the Chatas applies, Torah Achas, the Kol Chatas, the Halach is going to apply, whether it's on the outside or the inside. Continuing, talking about the requirements of Kibus, when is it required? Mishnah Beis, Chatas Psula Ein Damatan Kibus. You don't require a Kibus if the blood spritzes from a Chatas Psula, only from a kosher Chatas, Bein Shayala Shas Kosher, Bein Shaloya Shas Kosher. And that applies whether that Chatas, that Psula, had a time that the Zrika could have been done in a kosher fashion, or whether the Zri could not have been done in a kosher fashion. What that means is our cutoff is going to be, was the Kabbalah done correctly, or was there a psul before the Kabbalah? And we'll explain what that means right now. But either way, we're saying the Kochatas Psula, if you have blood from it, there is not going to be a din of Kibus. Either way, Ezo Yishaya L'Shasa Kosher, when is a situation that it did have a time that Zrika could have been done in a kosher way? In other words, it was a totally kosher Korban, and all the dam was kosher up until including the Kabbalah, and there was a psul that happened between the Kabbalah and the Zrika. So, for example, the Kabbalah was done correctly. However, the psul happened thereafter in one of three possibilities. Shalana, that blood was left out until nighttime, so it wasn't done properly. The Zrika wasn't done in time. Shenitmeah, or after the Kabbalah, that blood became tame before the Zrika. Shiatza, and between the Kabbalah and the Zrika, it went out of the Azara. All of those are times that is high alashasa kosher, that Zrika could have been done correctly because the Kabbalah was done correctly, but a psul happened between the Kabbalah and the Zrika. Ve'ezuhi shaloi alashas kosher. What an example when indeed the psul happened earlier before the Kabbalah, so there couldn't have been a kosher Zrika because at the Kabbalah states also the blood was psul. Two examples, something happened either at the Shechita or something happened at the Kabbalah. What happened at the Shechita? She nischata chutz lizman v'chutz lizomah. Shechita was done at an improper thought. There was an improper thought of the person doing the Shechita, a chutz lizmano, invalidity, or a chutz limkoma, or the Kabbalah was done incorrectly. V'shekibla psulim estama, we take out the word v'zarko, somebody was puzzled, did the Kabbalah, for example, a non-Kohen, so it was invalid at the time. Either way, whether we had the ability to do the Zrika in a kosher way or not, it doesn't matter. As long as it's a Chatas Psula, there's no din in Kibus. Mishnah Gimel is going to talk about three different halachas, and the concept will be stated thereafter that the only time that we're going to have the ability, the requirement to do the Kibus, is indeed if the blood was collected properly in a Kli Shares, that's the Kabbalah, and indeed it will not apply after the Zrika. So it's only between the Kabbalah and the Zrika, at that time, if the blood spritzes on a Beged, there's going to be a din of Kibus. Mishnah Gimel says as follows. Din number one, Nitas minat Savar ala Beged. If the blood spritz from the Savar, the neck, directly onto the Beged, the blood never went into a Klei Shari, so there was never a kosher Kabbalah on that blood. Ein otan Kibus, there's no din of Kibus. Number two, minat Keren minat Yesod. If it's after the Zrika, the blood spritzed from after the Zrika, it was on the top of the Mizbeach, on the horn of the Mizbeach, and then it fell onto the Beged, umina Yesod, or even thereafterward, you're about to pour that blood onto the Yesod of the Mizbeach, and then it spritzed on the Beged, ein otan Kibus, again, because that's after the Zrika, there is no din of Kibus. And number three, nishbach alaritz bavasafo, if the blood never went into klisharis, it went straight from the neck to the floor, and then thereafter it was collected together and put into a kli sharis. Again, ain otan kibus. There's no din of kibus. And here's the general rule: ain otan kibus el hadam shiniskaba bekli varoy lahazaya. The only time we have a kibus requirement if is that blood, and we're talking right now about the korban chatas, it went into the kli sharis and it is kosher to do azaya. But in the absence of those requirements, there's no din of kibus. Nitatz ala or achlo hubsha. When we're talking about a beged, we're not only talking about if it spritz on the beged of the kohen, it could be other types of begadim as well. And we're talking about right now, how about if that blood spritzed onto the hide of the animal? So if nitaz al haor ajlo hufshat, if it went onto the hide of the animal before it was skinned, before it was removed from the carcass of the animal, ain otan kibus, there's no din of kibus, because that's not considered a beged yet, that is still on the animal. However, misha hufshat, if it's after that the hide was removed from the animal, in that situation, taon kibus, there's a din of kibus, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that even though you still plan on working that hide, but once it's removed from the animal, because you could decide that I am done working this hide, in that instance, it would be makabel tuma. Speak accordingly, because it could be makabel tuma. Had you made that decision, it would be makabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda's a view that is indeed close enough to a beged that there would be a dina kibus. Rabbi Eliezer Omer af mehub shuvshad enotan kibus. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. He says even though you've removed that skin, because it's not in its final form, it's not going to be makabel tuma. There's no dina kibus. Enotan kibus elamal kamadam. Another few halachas. There is only a requirement of kibus where the dam is. In other words, spot cleaning. You don't have to clean the entire beged. V'davar shuroi l'kabel tuma. This is based on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that we just read before, that as long as it's roi l'kabel tuma, as long as it's an item that even if it's not fully worked, but as long as the person could decide, I am done working it, it would be makabel tuma. As long as it has the possibility, it could be makabel tuma, then there's a din of kibus. V'roi l'kibus, we're talking about items that you would launder. In other words, we're talking about garments and soft items. However, this would exclude items that are made of wood or hard items. You don't do kibus on. So even if blood went on those solid materials, there would be no din of kibus. Mishnah Dalet, echad beged ve'echad asak ve'echad or to unim kibus. There, the requirements are a beged. It can be a clothing. It could be a sackcloth. It could be leather, as we said. There is a required kibus, and this is going to be what we're starting to learn new in this Mishnah, but makam kadosh, the din of kibus, has to be done specifically in the azar, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to learn two other halachas, and we're going to be going into detail on them in the coming Mishnayos. Another halacha that applies when we have this korban, ushviras kli cheres b'makam kadosh, if you cooked this korban in a kli cheres, an earthenware kli, indeed, it has to be broken. Why does it have to be broken? And specifically in the makam kadosh in the azara, because we're concerned that there is going to be nosar in it. There's nosar left over from the meat that was cooked in it, and after the certain amount of time, if you have, for example, a shlamim, and you can eat it for 2 days and one night, it's going to become nosar in that kli there afterwards, so it has to be broken. And in addition, umerika ushtifa b'kli nechoshes b'makam kadosh. There's another halacha, if the cooking was done not in a kli cheres, it has to be broken, but you cooked it in a copper vessel or some other metal vessel. Here, we're not going to break it. We have to clean it out. Merika shtifa, that means we're going to clean it, and we'll see shortly, clean the inside, clean the outside. We have to wash it well in order to remove the residue that could become nosar. And again, all three of these halachas, the kibus, the shviras kli cheres, and the merika shtifa, the kli nechoshet, have to be done b'makam kadosh in the azara. Zechomer b'chatas mikotshe kadoshim. And this is a when it comes to chatas, where you just use the bartanura here, he's talking about kibus. This din of kibus is specific for carbon chatas, not from other kodshe kadashim. However, based on the bartanura, the next two dinim that we learned about, the breaking of the kli cheretz and the mariko shtifa, the kli nechoshet, those would apply to other kodshe kadashim as well. Mishnah Hey, continuing about these three dinim that we learned, we're going to start with kibus. Kibus, we said, has to be done b'makam kodesh, which is in the azara. So beged shi'atza chusle klein. What happens if somebody took it outside the azara before the kibus was done? Nichnas umechabso b'makom kadosh. You have to put it back in, take it back into the azara, and do the kibus as you should have done originally. However, what happens if nitmachutz leklayim? Somebody took it out before the kibbutz was done. It's now out of the azara and it became tame. You're not allowed to bring it back in because it's tame. So korah, what you have to do is you have to rip a majority of it that removes the deoraisa tuma. Then you take it in v'nichnasu mechabso b'makom kadosh. You take it then into the azara and you do the kibbutz that you should have done originally. The next thing that we learned was about the chli cheres. That chli cheres that we said that if you cooked inside of it, kodshim, indeed you have to break it because we're concerned about nosar. So that has to be done also b'makom kadosh in the azara. How about chli cheres shiyatza chutz l'klayim? Somebody took it out of the azara before breaking it. So just redo it. Nichnas, bring it back into the azara v'shover b'makom kadosh and break it inside the azara where you should have done it originally. However, just like we just saw with the beged, nitma chutz l'klayim, that chli cheres that was taken out, it became tameh outside of the azara. We're not allowed to bring it back in. At this point, what you have to do is nokvo, break a small hole in it. Now it removes the tuma d'oraisa, and then v'nichnas v'shover b'makom kadosh. Then take it into the azara and break it as you should have done originally. Mishnah Vav is going to be the third din that we said, and it's going to follow the template that we just established for the first and the second dinim. Kli nechoshes sheyatza chutz l'klayim, that kli nechoshes that we cooked kodshim in, and what we're supposed to do is mariko shtifa. But instead of doing that originally, immediately in the azara, somebody took it out of the azara. So what do you do? Same thing we said. Nichnas umorka v'shotva b'makom kadosh. Take it back into the azara and do mariko shtifa. And again, what happens if somebody took it out and nitma chutz l'kalayim and it became tamei? We can't bring it back in. Pochaso, you have to punch a large hole in it this time in order to remove the tuma de'oraisa v'nichnas b'morka v'shotva b'makom kadosh. And then you bring it back in and you do the mariko shtifa in the azara. Mishnah Zayin, Echad Shebishal Bo, Ve'echad She'era Letocho Roteach. When we talk about these requirements of Mariko Shtifa, it applies whether an offering was cooked in it, as we mentioned before, even if somebody just poured the broth of a korban into that kli, the same thing is going to apply. Echad kodshe kodashim ve'echad kodshe kalim. This halacha is going to apply to kodshe kodashim. It's going to apply to kodshe kalim. Whenever you do have a korban, an offering, or it's boiling hot broth in a kli nechoshes, in a metal dish, te'uni miriko shtifa, there's a requirement of miriko shtifa. Rabbi Shimon omer, kodshe kalim, einam te'uni miriko shtifa. Rabbi Shimon is of the view that kodshe kalim doesn't require miriko shtifa, only kodshe kodshim. Rabbi Tarfon Omer in Bisha, we have an exception to this. Rabbi Tarfon Omer in Bisha bo mitchilas arega, when it comes to the rego, because you're going to be using the kli sharis so often back to back, the residue from the prior korban is never going to become nosar until it's used again because you're using it each and every day. Accordingly, yivashal bo eskol regel, you don't have to do mariko shtifa. You can cook each and every day because we're not concerned about nosar because it's being used before that residue will become nosar. Chachamim omrim ad zman achila mariko shtifa. Chachamim tell us that you have to be careful that before the end time of eating that specific korban, for example, as we mentioned, the shlamim, you have 2 days with the night in between. You have to be sure to do the mariko shtifa but before the end time that you're required to eat it, before it becomes nosar. Now we're going to define this marika shtifa. What are the requirements? Marika, kamarika sakos, ushtifa, kishtifa sakos. This is referring to halacha when it comes to a kosha birka samazon. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that you have to wash it on the inside and then wash it on the outside. If we're going to use a cup to say birkas hamazon, we're going to put wine in it before, and you have to clean the inside and the outside. Our Mishnah is telling us that the mariko shtifa of this kli sharis, same thing, wash it on the inside, wash it in the outside. Marika ushtifa betzonein, we take out the word bechamin, so the mariko shtifa is done with cold water. However, there's another halacha that when we use other items with heat, in other words, we're talking about v'hashpud, a spit, v'ha'askala, or a grill, and when you use that for kodshim, so similar to the other kalim that has, we're concerned about residue here because these were used with kodshim, with real heat, magilim bechamim, what we have to do is we have to purge the blia inside of it, the residue that could be nosar, with boiling hot water. Mishneches, bishabo kodshim v'chulin. What happens if we have a kli? And we cooked in it, not just kodshim kalim, kodshi kalim, whatever it may be, but we have a mixture now, a tarovis. So for example, we're going to have 2 examples. One is that we cooked inside a kli together. It was kodshim from a korban and chulin, regular meat, meat and meat. The one was kodshim, one was chulin, or kodshe Kadashim v'kodshei kalim, we're in the same kli, and we cook the two different levels of meat. One's kodshei kodshim, one's kodshei kalim. Im yesh b'en benose in time, if the holier one gave a tam to the less holy one, hare hakalim ne'achalim kachamurim, we have to treat the more kal one. So for example, if we had kodshim together with chulin, we have to eat the chulin stricter also. Or if it's kodshei kodshim and kodshei kalim, we have to be stricter also. In other words, when it comes to that, you have to make sure to eat it in the azara, and only the kohanim, and the amount of time that the more strict one is eaten, we have to be stricter about it. Another couple of halachas, the Gemara tells us that there's a chasuri mechzer of a hachitani, something, there's some language that's missing in this Mishnah. So another couple of halachas in that situation, when you have the kodshim with chulin, there's also halacha of mericha shtifa. And even when you have kodshim and Rabbi Shimon, we said before, would not require there to be Mariko Shtifa. Here we would require Mariko Shtifa. And also, it's Matambi Bamaga. If the more chamer one is Tame, and indeed they were cooked together, and there was a no Saint Tam to the other one, then the other one is also going to be Mitame other things. Continuing, however, if there is no Tam transferred from the more chamer to the Kal one, for example, from the Kodshim to the Chulin, there's no Tam transferred, then you don't have to be careful about eating the second one. You just have to be careful about eating the first one in the stricter way, but not the second one, because there's no tam in the less holy one. The einan tuni mariko shtifa, there's no requirement of mariko shtifa in this kli, because there was no tam that was transferred. So we're not concerned about nosa residue. The einan poslim b'mag, in addition, that second piece never had tam that was transferred to it, so we're not concerned that it's going to be possible that it can cause touch something else and make it tame. Last statement of the Mishnah, if we have two different items that are kodshim, that are hot, both hot. For example, rakik shenaga berakik. That's a wafer from a korban mincha. It was hot. It touched another hot one. V'chaticha b'chaticha. Or if you have some other slice of meat that was, one was kossel and one was not. We're talking about rakik shenaga berakik. One was kossel and one wasn't kossel. And chaticha b'chaticha, one piece of meat that was kodshim, that was kossel, and one was not kossel. But they are both hot. In this situation that they touched and there was a nisinas of tam one to the other, but they weren't cooked together in the same pot. So here we're saying that the entire one that was originally tahor, it wasn't pasul, and the entire piece of meat that was not problematic, not the whole thing becomes asr because there's a no same tam from A to B. Ain an asr ela makambala ela, rather only the place that there was a bliya, that there's a no same tam in the second one, is there a problem, but not the entire rikik or the entire chaticha.